Unashamed praying. It's the key for the will of God to be done on this earth. William Carey, just a shoemaker, was once reproached for spending so much time in prayer that he neglected his business. He replied that supplication, praise, thanksgiving, intercession were much more important in his life than laying up treasures on earth. Prayer is my real business, he said. Cobbling shoes is a sideline. It just helps me pay expenses. That perspective is why William Carey became the father of modern missions and opened up India to the gospel, put the full translation of the Word of God in the hands of a majority of the Indian people, and also touched Burma and the East Indies. One man, a cobbler, found out that prayer caused him to be connected with the God of the universe, and that God was able to do great and mighty things. Unashamed, understanding what it means to truly know the heart of God, to know who He is and what He wants, and to be able to pray with boldness at the throne of grace and get all the help we need at the times we have the need. And so that kind of prayer is what needs to underscore and be the foundation for every aspect of our life as we want to be part of advancing the kingdom of God. And the first part of the prayer time of any kind of a formula of prayer always begins with worship, praise, and then meditating on our God. In fact, when you look at Acts 4, and you can turn there with me here, our theme passage, it is very interesting. At the beginning of their great prayer, when the persecution came on them, this prayer, not for deliverance, but for boldness and for God's miraculous working, started with an acknowledgement of the person of God. In other words, they were able to pray with confidence. They were able to pray with earnestness, may I say. They were able, as God's people, to pray with boldness. And because of that, God gave them boldness. There in verse 24 of Acts 4, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Beginning with praising Him as the Creator, and then and inspiring the Word of God to give David Psalm 2, which says, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. And on that prayer goes. And they prayed for boldness, and the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were filled with the mighty power of God, and indeed had boldness and saw God's miraculous working time after time after time. So the matter of worship and praise is very, very important. Now, for those of you that may not be familiar with the idea and the concept of an hour with God, the concept of our Christ Walk journal, let me just give you an idea of the categories that we suggest to folks, a progression based upon the Lord's Prayer, as was preached last Sunday morning. And that progression really covers all aspects of communion and fellowship with God. And just so you can get it in your mind, and there are 10 sections that cover an hour, and we're going to be doing two sections per time. The first is worship and praise, 5 minutes. Waiting on God, 5 minutes. Confession of sin, 5 minutes. Spiritual warfare, 5 minutes. Claiming God's promises, 5 minutes. Intercession and petitions, 10 minutes. Thanksgiving, 5 minutes. Meditation and discovery, 10 minutes. Listening to God, 5 minutes. And then ending with praise and singing for 5 minutes. So this morning, our 2 points are going to be the first 2 sections of spending an hour with God, and the first is worship and praise. In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord gives the model prayer, the outline prayer, and he says in Matthew 6:19, "After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, set apart, glorified be thy name." My friends, if we do not start with praising and worshiping our God and letting the Spirit of God work in our heart, we will go through motions that really will not meet the need of the hour that we need. Now let me say, as you begin any prayer time, remember that we must be empowered by the Spirit to do anything in our life. We can't witness without God's power. We can't make decisions. We don't have wisdom without His enabling. And we cannot pray without His power. So it's important for us to let the Spirit convince us of His greatness, bring us to a position of understanding our need and our sin, bring us into full forgiveness, and then into a real victory over Satan and his demonic powers, and begin to get on the ground of God's promises to intercede and thank the Lord for what He's going to do and understand truth and go forward. I mean, that's how that whole progression works. And so worship and praise, you'll find in your book there, the whole theme of that is glory in God's unique greatness. Glory in God's unique greatness. John Newton, that slave trader who had a debauched life but had a mother who loved the Lord, had prayed for him, and he came gloriously to salvation, became a preacher of the gospel, and was able to be used of God. He wrote the wonderful gospel hymn that probably everyone here knows, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." Well, he penned these words, "Thou art coming to a king, large petitions with thee bring, for his grace and power are such, none can ever ask too much." Now that's the point of this worship and praise. If we look at our lives and we look at the situations around us from a human perspective, we will faint even in prayer. But if we will spend that first 5 minutes praising God for who He is and going down the list of the attributes of God, the Spirit of God will be able to bring us to a place where we can get a hold of the fact that our God can answer these prayers. In fact, our God is going to answer these prayers. And that my life is not going to be limited by my finiteness. My life is going to be expanded to His infinite nature. That I can look through eyes of divinity rather than eyes of humanity. Folks, it is a dramatic difference. That's why don't just go stumbling into prayer without praising God. Now, obviously, we can pray like Nehemiah did, those quick prayers, "Lord, help." I pray a lot of those, and that's good, and God hears. But an extended time of Spirit-led prayer always needs to start with praise. Now, God has commanded us to praise. It is the duty of His creation, and especially of those who are redeemed, to praise the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 8. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Now, folks, this matter of praise is just part of our human existence. If you are at a football game or some kind of competition, and you're really supporting that team, and someone there makes a great play, or your team scores, if you just sit there passively, you're not normal, okay? You're not showing any appreciation, and you're not excited, and I can tell you what, you're not really enjoying it. But I'm telling you, if you're in that game, you look a little ridiculous if you were on video. I mean, you start screaming and hollering and waving your arms, and you're all excited because somebody that you're cheering for does something great. That's the human side of it. But folks, May I say this with reverence? We ought to do a lot of cheering for our great God. He has created a beautiful world. He has a perfect plan. He is constantly working on our behalf. If we are believers, He has saved us for all eternity. We are blessed people. We can live with complete security in our lives. We need to praise the Lord. It is our duty to praise Him. Psalm 9, verse 1, I will praise the Lord. I will praise Thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. It's our privilege to pray. A pastor had a friend of his who was summoned to the bedside of his aged mother. She had lived for God, loved the Lord. And they were gathered around, realizing she didn't have long to live, but she was still very conscious, and so they had some time of singing. The pastor came in and asked her, what passage would you like me to read? And she simply said to him, make your own selection, but let it be of praise. Even in her sickness and pain, her heart was to praise her Lord. And it is very important for us to understand that the light of our life is an understanding by the Spirit of God continually of the greatness of our God. Psalm 54, 6, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Psalm 86, 12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. When King Solomon stood there at the time of the temple's dedication, he led the choruses of singers and the instruments all in mighty praise to God. In his prayer, it goes forth by the power of the Spirit with the greatest praise of almost any human being. And when he praised the Lord and the people thundered forth their praise to God, the glory of God came upon that temple. And the glory of God comes in our life. And the glory of God comes upon whatever work we are doing for Him when our hearts are focused upon Him and we live for His glory and we are thrilled at who He is. How important. Now, the content of praise is all of the different aspects of the greatness of our God. In front of you, I'm going to have page after page. I'll read a few of these from each of these pages just to give you an idea of all that you can praise the Lord for. This, to me, is one of my favorite times of the hour with God. He is the Creator. The universe is His. If He can do that, I'm in good shape. He is the everlasting Father. He always has been, therefore His care will always be. He is the Prince of Peace. It is His peace that we have. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can see that there. He is the Almighty Sovereign. He's in control of all things. He's the God of Providence, and we can trust in Him even when we go through the difficulties of life. He has a personal name, Jehovah, New Testament, Jesus, our salvation. He is, He exists. He's our good shepherd. He's our rock. Every time I pray that, which I do every morning, He's my rock, buckler, shield, defense, high tower, hiding place. As you go through those things, my fortress, my foundation, my cornerstone, it just gets deep within your heart. You can trust your God. Tell you, just talking about this right now, I get excited. What a God! You know, why do we get down, folks? We have an almighty God. He's our good shepherd. And He leads us beside the still waters. He protects us. He's faithful. Great is thy faithfulness. He is the Lord God Almighty. He's our guide. He's gracious. He is holy. He is perfect in everything. He knows no sin. He is not imperfect at all. And on I could go. There are several more pages of these characteristics of God. Now, my friends, 5 minutes will be the five fastest 5 minutes you ever spend if you will let the Spirit of God take you into the true realm of praise. Let me ask you, did you praise the Lord this morning? Did your heart get lifted? Did you tell the Lord how thankful you are for these things? I would not start a day without doing that. He is everything. He is in control of everything. We need to be connected to Him, and we need to have the Spirit of God stir us deeply about who He is. He is my God, and if he's saved, he is your God, and if you're not saved, he is your creator and wants to be your savior. And he has done great things for us, for which we are glad. And so God's people need to, as we think of his greatness, say it with me, a strong amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. He is our God. Much more could be said about that, but I'd like to go to the second 5 minutes. And that one is waiting on God. Once we allow the Spirit of God to stir us as to the greatness of our God, all the different aspects, only touched on a few, his love, his tenderness, his mercy, the wisdom that he gives us. He is our door, he protects us, he's the true vine, on and on. Once we meditate on those things, then as Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And so the theme of the second 5 minutes is be still, yield, and then expect God to work in your heart. Folks, this is not an exercise we go through. This is you meeting with God. And did you know that the all-powerful, omnipotent, omnipresent God can meet as individually with you as he can with anyone else? It will be more of a relationship than you have with the dearest person on earth to you. Because your relationship with God goes into your innermost spirit, the Spirit of God indwells there, and therefore he will take these truths and he will manifest Jesus, he will manifest the Father to you. And we're not looking for emotional feelings. Sometimes we'll obviously have those, but we look for the deep, rich fellowship we can have in our spirit. And so this waiting on God is so important. On pages 10 and 11 of the journal, you will find two pages there that have more things for you to write in about the matter of waiting upon God. And we have this divided out in our helps to you in dividing it into three different categories, and that's simply the triune God. The triune God has a wonderful relationship, he does, with us, three distinct persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so it is important for us to understand the need to allow the reality of who God is to sink deeply into our hearts. G. Campbell Morgan told, and he knew of God's working. God gave him a mighty ministry and writing ministry, and he said, he gave an illustration here of this. A father and his young daughter were great friends and had a wonderful time of fellowship. It's wonderful when you have a father-daughter relationship as it ought to be. Then he noted a change in his daughter. If he went for a walk, she excused herself from going. He was grieved about it, and he didn't understand. But when his birthday came, she presented him with an exquisitely worked pair of slippers, saying, I have made them for you. Her face was aglow. Then he understood what had happened for the last 3 months. And he said, my darling, I like these slippers very much. But next time, buy the slippers and let me have you all the days. I would rather have my child than anything she can make for me. And any parent here knows what I'm talking about. Frankly, any child here knows what I'm talking about. You know, the church at Ephesus was a great church. But the one thing that God grieved about was they had left their first love. Believers, it is vital that we increase in our love for the Lord. That spiritual reality and awareness just increases in our heart day by day. I plead with you, be committed to 7 days a week spending extended time with God. I plead with you to not start a day without praising the Lord through the power of the Spirit, and then to spend this time in which you are still and you know God and you let the clutter go, you let the anxiety drop, you let the distractions go, and truly understand that spiritual reality is reality. In one of the African dialects, Kari, the expression for praise or thankfulness is to sit down on the ground before. And what would happen is a thankful person in that tribe would go to the home of the benefactor and sit on the ground before his hut. No word needed to be spoken. His silent vigil expressed his gratitude. And you know, as God's people, there's just a time sometime to sit and just open our hearts to God. Wait on the Lord. And again, I say, wait on the Lord. Well, the three aspects, the three persons of the Godhead are the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And in the journal there, we just have some basic suggestions, and there's so much more for you to add, as you can see the lines there. But let me just take you into some meditation this morning. Let's think about the Father. Matthew chapter 6 again, the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father. The Lord, Jesus, called him his Father, and he's our Father. The Lord, our Father, takes care of us. The greatest gift a successful young attorney said that he ever received was the gift he got one Christmas from his father when he gave him a small box. Inside the box was a note saying, "Son, this year I will give you 365 hours. An hour every day after dinner, it's yours. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. We'll go where you want to go, play what you want to play. It will be your hour." He said, my father not only kept his promise, but every year he renewed it. And it's the greatest gift humanly I've ever had in my life. I am the result of his time. Well, we, of course, get touched about that when it comes to being a father. But my friends, our Father is there whenever we need him. He is our Father. I'm sure you could give many testimonies. I could give so many of the time in which maybe life became difficult, and then I realized I have a Heavenly Father. I'm okay. You know, when Dad was around, I was okay. The problems began to get solved, unless I was the problem, which was some of the time. And they still got solved, but maybe not the way I wanted them to get solved. But our Father is the same way. He loves us, and he works in our life. He is the one who has a perfect and good plan for me. And he really does. I remember the night before I was married, I was by myself, and the Holy Spirit just brought back my whole life there as to a time of praise when I thought of all the junctures in life and how God protected me. And how the Father's plan had brought me to his perfect will for my life with my wife, which has been the key to my ministry. And I was overwhelmed at the gratitude to a Father who took personal time with me to take care of me, communicate, guide, protect, stop me from doing things that could have caused me to miss God's will. Folks, he is so good. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Folks, he knows what's best for you. He created you. He sent Jesus to die for you. He is as concerned about you as anyone. In fact, he's concerned about you as much as he is the divine Son of God, because you are in Christ. Folks, we are secure in the Father. He's the one who protects me. John 10:29, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. He will give me the best, and he will protect me. A young man tells about the time when he was working for a grocery man, and this man turned out to be a crooked grocery man, but he had a great job there. And so he was thinking about becoming a grocery man like this man. Well, as a teenager, as he was working there in Missouri, he liked his work, was making money, and was proud of his job. And one day he came home and proudly told about his foxy employer. The grocer had a practice of mixing low-quality coffee with the expensive brand and thus increasing his profit. Well, Jim laughed as he told this to his family. He looked at his dad and he didn't laugh. He didn't see it was funny at all. And then the father said, "Tell me, if the grocer found someone palming off an inferior article on him for the price of the best, do you think he would think it was being foxy and laugh about it?" Well, his son saw why his father was disappointed in him. "I guess not. I guess I just didn't think about it that way." His father instructed him to go directly to the grocer, give his resignation, take whatever was due him, and never have anything to do with him again. Through that and other circumstances, J.C. Penney became a Christian that loved the Lord and became, of course, instead of a grocer, he became very well known in merchandising and across the country. But that father who protected his son is just a little microcosm of what our Father does for us. Ever been disappointed when something doesn't work out? Praise God for it. When you get disappointed, maybe things you have to learn, maybe you're partially responsible, but so often the junctions of life are superintended by a Father who knows exactly what is best for you, and you need to learn to be still and know that He is God. Hallelujah. He is the heavenly husbandman. We who are the branches on the vine who gain all of our strength from Jesus. He's the husbandman. We find in John 14:11, "I am the true vine," Jesus said, "and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away." And that means in the Greek, he lifts up out of the dark, damp ground. In other words, God does everything he can do to get us out of the darkness of this world and bring us into the light of the will of God. Listen, as God brings trials, you need to realize he knows what he's doing. If you're not bearing fruit, then he'll do whatever it takes so that you can bear fruit, because he's jealous of Jesus being glorified. And if you are bearing fruit, he wants you to bear more, and he will purge you. He will prune you. He will take back the cut back the self-life that is part of our life. And oh, I'm telling you, I revel even in the trials, because I know I can trust my Heavenly Father. Folks, that's so important. Start your day with saying, "Lord, do with me what you want to do with me. I trust you. You're a good father. You're a wonderful father. He's the one who give wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." And then, meditation on the Son. It's hard to take these couple of minutes when you're praying without sometimes just breaking down to think of what Christ did for us. Folks, he's identified with you and me forever. God the Father is a spirit. God the Son is a spirit, is a spirit. But Jesus is a man. Forever, he stands in our stead. Forever, he identifies with us. He is ever making intercession for us. Hebrews 4:15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." My friends, he is still showing his humiliation because of his presence as the glorified human yet divine Savior at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is the head of the church. Oh, it's wonderful to meditate on that. We are his body. Therefore, Satan can be crushed under our feet because he has been crushed under his feet. Ephesians 1:22-23, "And hath put all things under his feet and given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Oh, to focus on that. You realize right now, I really prayed about this morning, we are meeting as the body of Christ here. He's the head. We are his body. This is a sacred spiritual meeting. This is God's plan. That's why church is so special for us. It's because of Jesus. And oh, how we need to thank him for that. Think of how God's people have met your needs, have helped you, discipled you, led you to Christ. The touch of a believer that cares, the prayer of a believer that intercedes. It's all because of Jesus. He's praying for you right now. Don't ever say no one cares about me. That's not true. He is the glorified, exalted Savior, as I've already said. I love to go over these verses, Ephesians 1:20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Let the Spirit of God bring you to the reality of who he is at the throne. And he gives all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. All spiritual blessings. Everything you ever would desire that's right. Every need of your heart. Every purpose of life. He is able to provide all spiritual blessings. Several hundred years ago, a great preacher captured the real meaning of what we have because of the resurrection, and his sermon was entitled, The Death of Death in the Death of Christ. Let me say that one more time. The Death of Death in the Death of Christ. All the pain and problems you see in the human race, all the things that you face, he paid for it all upon the cross. This curse has been dealt with. You are now part of the one who has been raised from the dead, who has ascended to the right hand of the Father. My friends, there is nothing that God cannot do. Jesus is your Savior. And all that needs to grab a hold of your heart when you're praying. He is the captain of your salvation. And then the final person of the Godhead. He's our comforter. He's the one who's called alongside. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another, one of the same kind. The same way I met your needs, he's going to meet your needs within you, that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit is your seal. He is your earnest of your redemption. You will go to heaven because the Spirit of God is in you. Nothing can take away your salvation. Hallelujah for that, if you are truly saved. And he is the one that is called alongside your comforter. He is ready to meet every need. Ever been comforted? Ever been just spiritually lifted? Miraculously, in a hard time, the peace of God came? You need to thank the Spirit of God. He's the one that does that on behalf of Jesus. He empowers us. That great promise that Jesus gave there on the Mount of Ascension, Mount of Olives, just before he went, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And in Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might in his Spirit, by his Spirit, in the inner man. My friends, God wants to make you a different person. As we think about bold praying, as we think about the kind of a witness that transformed the first generation throughout the years have done that, it's because the Spirit of God has been able to fully control people who have died to self by his power and have yielded themselves to him. God is able to do a great work, and that's the work of the Spirit. Often we've quoted this, but it is worth repeating. I'm moved every time I read it. Dwight L. Moody, who had been used of God but was straining in his work, and then God took everything away in the great fire of Chicago, and he was in New York City heading over to Europe, and he was meeting with the Lord. He needed God, and he was in a hotel room, and he says, what a day. I can't describe it. I seldom refer to it. It's almost too sacred to name. I can only say God revealed himself to me. I had such an experience of love that I had to ask him to stay his hand. I went to preaching again. The sermons were no different. I did not present any new truth. Yet hundreds were converted, and I would not be back where I was before that blessed experience. Now, we're not looking for experience per se. We're looking for the person of that, and that's the Spirit of God. Do you feel defeated? Do you feel weak? Your heart rises as we talk about what we see in Acts chapter 4 with those believers, but you, I don't know about me. You've got to understand, you need to wait on the Lord. there in that second part of your hour with God and realize the Holy Spirit is mine as much as it was Dwight L. Moody's. He is in me, he is in the people that I admire, and he can do for me what he has done for others. It's really true. He will lead us in prayer, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. There at the conclusion of the armor of God, Ephesians 6:18. He convicts, he's so good as the Father works to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He guides, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God, Romans 8:14. He will lead you specifically. He'll take you to divine appointments. He will direct, guide, give wisdom. It's wonderful. Just talk to him and he will work in your heart. He illumines truth, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He's the one that we fellowship with, and he causes us to fellowship with the Father and the Son. 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost. Just the other day, I was talking to the Spirit of God about that, and I thought, you know, this constant awareness of God that you have, or thank you for communing with me. It's wonderful when somebody wants to talk with you. Don't you appreciate a good friend that's willing to take the time? Well, my good friend and your good friend is willing all the time. In fact, that's his greatest joy, to commune with you. He gives great victory. Galatians chapter 5, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Later in that passage, in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. My friend, those are great things about the Spirit of God, aren't they? And he gives you peace. My peace. Do you realize the peace of God is the peace that God experiences, and it's because the Spirit of God in your spirit controls your heart with peace. Upon the plains of Waterloo, that famous battleground, there stands a great bronze iron, a lion, iron, great bronze lion, forged from the captured guns of the Britons. And the beast's mouth is scary. It's open and seems to almost snarl through its teeth over the battlefield. This one preacher, when he saw it, looked closer, and a bird had built its nest right in the lion's mouth, twining the twigs of the downy bed where the fledglings nestled around the very teeth of the metal monster. And from the very jaws of the bronze beast, the chirp of the swallows was heard. And my friends, we got a roaring lion, but he's a conquered lion if we're trusting the Lord. We live in a cursed, sinful, hard world, but Jesus, the Father, and the Spirit are in control. And the Spirit of God will bring the fruit of the Spirit, peace to your heart, if you will let him. Now let me just tell you, if you let the Spirit of God work for the first 10 minutes, worship and praise, and then wait on the Lord by communing with your God and just being still and knowing that he's God, you will end with the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And you will end with a confidence, my God is able. Let's bow for prayer. So we bow before the Lord here this morning. Oh, friends, this matter of communing with our God is so important. It's so important. You don't, if you love somebody, you tell them. If you're appreciative of somebody, you tell them. If you value someone, you spend time with them. This whole concept of spending an extended time, an hour with God, is so vital, my friends. And it needs to start with praise. If praise is not there, then we fall into unbelief and bitterness against our God. You're a believer here this morning. You've trusted Christ. You know what I'm saying is true. You've been there. I would say every believer has had that time of praise to the Lord and that quiet communion with God. But you'd say, Pastor, I am not praising him through the power of the Spirit nearly as I ought to be, and I'm certainly not spending it in a regular way. And I'm not waiting on the Lord and listening to him and being still like I should to allow the Spirit of God to let me revel in the reality of the person of the Father and the person of the Son and the person of the Spirit. And I realize this is really a major part of my life. It ought to be very much a regular part of my life. And I'm going to admit that I haven't done it as I ought, but I want to, and by God's grace, I am committed to having these aspects in my life daily. That's my heart cry. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up if that's your heart cry here this morning? I must praise my God. I must wait on him. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Many, many hands. Thank God for you. Maybe there's someone here and you'd say, Pastor, I don't have peace in my life. I'm not even certain if I were to die, I would be in heaven. Friend, it's through the finished work of Christ. It is not through our efforts and it's not through religion. It's Jesus that died for you. And you'd say, I'd love to have that peace. I'd love to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I'd appreciate your prayer along with these others that raise their hand. Now, no one's looking, my friend, but it's so important to open your heart to God. And you'd say, please pray for me. I want to know that I have that eternal relationship with my Savior. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip your hand up? We won't point you out, but we would love to pray for you here this morning. Anyone like that? Hold up, yes, God bless you. Anyone else here today? God's working in my heart. I need to know that I'm on my way to heaven. Lord, I thank you for these tender hearts. And Lord, what a joy it is to look at this wonderful matter of having bold prayer. But bold prayer can only start with genuine Spirit-filled praise, genuine Spirit-filled waiting upon you. Now, Lord, this is a very important matter. We cannot have a relationship with you if we do not yield to you as we should. So, Lord, I pray that you will just do what you would have done during this invitation. For those that are not saved, Lord, may they understand their need of a Savior. And for all these that acknowledge the need, give them great victory. I pray today now in Jesus' name. Amen.